Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz, and today is 1-7-2021, and it's time for Mickey Fulp's monthly major market review. We're a little bit late this month. As you know, had a little COVID setback, spent 7 days in the hospital getting a drug cocktail, antibiotics, antivirals, getting plasma, donor plasma, remdesivir. I was on the cutting edge of medicine. I was breathing oxygen. I had walking pneumonia along with COVID. But today, just 15 minutes ago, I got back the results of my antigen test, and I am COVID negative. Look, there's a recuperation period involved. It's going to take me a little bit of time to get my energy level back. And the good thing is I needed to lose some weight, and I sure as heck lost it. So I see a lot of positives here. Well, a lot of negatives out there. There always is. Let's take a look at the monthly markets and make sure you go over to Mickey's site, mercenarygeologist.com, for more information. So, Mickey, hey, what can you say? What can you say about a month where basically the world appears it's going to end, but the markets could care less?
Dow closed at 3606 for a 3% monthly gain, up 7% on the year, all-time high. S&P 500, another all-time high, 3756, up almost 4% on the month, 16% on the year. NASDAQ is in the stratosphere, closed at 12888, up 5.5% on the month, almost 44% on the year, led by socio-fascist big techs, but hey,
our tech overlords,
yes, right? Sir,
our betters, our yeah. Tech betters, right?
Who have the nerve to censor the president of the United States? So, regardless, Russell 2000 just off its all-time high. It almost closed at 2000. It did hit that metric last week, but it closed at 1975, up 8.5% on the month, 18% on the year. Fed created a bubble, and now they're buying corporate bonds as U.S. devolves into some sort of hybrid socio-fascism.
Yeah, and that's on the bright side of things, Mickey.
True, Kerry.
Well, let's look at our lesser markets here. At least we see that the wealth is getting shared across a lot of different markets here, right?
Yeah, but they all almost all underperform the U.S. Let's look at the VIX first, volatility index, S&P 500 futures, aka the fear index. What a volatile year it had. Started the year in near record lows at 12 or below, went as high as I think 85 during the China virus panic and paranoia, closed in low 20s, and it was kind of flat in the low 20s for last month or so. Let's look at the Toronto markets. Toronto Big Board underperformed all year, closed at 17,433, 1.4% monthly gain, only 2% on the year. Toronto Venture Exchange had a very strong year, but it actually set an all-time low in mid-March of 330. It closed at 875, has not been at that level for almost 3 years. That's a 17% gain on the month, whopping 51% on the year. But we should look at the fact that the gold resource stocks lost about 50% after their August highs. So this latest two-month run-up we've had in Toronto Venture Exchange has been driven by cannabis, cryptos, green stocks, and psychedelic stocks. So this is a day trader's gamer's wet dream here.
A day tripper's market, thought. Like the Beatles said, right? Day tripper.
There you go. And finally, let's look at the emerging market index, closed at 1293, 6% gain on the month, 16% on the year. And this market almost, if you look at the returns across the year, very similar to the S&P 500.
Yeah, fascinating. You know, like as students of the markets, Mickey, this year probably could be the most fascinating year we've experienced.
Yeah, it was so abnormal that let's hope it never happens this way again.
Let's hope. So I guess we have to look at our money now, and let's see what the money markets did here.
Well, one of the few reds on our board was the dollar, and it was down all year, lost to 89.92. That's what is it, 2.5 year low since it closed below 90. Lost 2% on the month, almost 7% on the year. Euro is the mirror image, closed at 122, up 2% on the month, up 9% on the year. Real story could have been 10-year treasury bonds, which got as low, I think, as approaching 0.5% during the whole virus episode. In the early days of the virus, closed on the uptick at 0.94. That's a 12% gain on the month, but lost 51% on the year. And Bitcoin has gone exponential again. It's still on the uptick. Closed the year at 28,947, up 48% on the month, 305% on the year. Gary, your prediction at one point that was Bitcoin would go to zero. It's got a long ways to go now, my friend.
Not so much go to zero, but I thought that it was going to lose 90% of its value when it was roughly 20,000, meaning it would go down to around $2,000 a coin. It never quite made it there. It made it down to 3,000. And yep, that was obviously the time to buy. But I knew that once it broke 12,000 again, which was last year high. Once it broke 12,000, that was all bets were off. All the crypto cowboys would be jumping on board, and that's what they've done. And the sky's the limit until the government decides to put a limit on the sky. That's the way I look at it. And they will.
Until some of the big holders decide to sell. I heard the other day that 90% of all the Bitcoins are owned by 5% of Bitcoin owners.
Yeah, and like 25 or 30% of the Bitcoins in the world have been lost because people don't remember their keys. So when you combine all these things, it's hardly the dream currency of choice. It has benefits. Competitive currencies are always like the holy grail of libertarianism, of the Rothbards and the von Mises. But as a practical matter, we're going to find out if they can work at all. I have my doubts, and I know you have yours, Mickey. So onward and upward with Bitcoin, and we'll see what they come up with next. It definitely has limitations. So I guess then we need to look at our metals. Boy, what a difference a month makes, Mickey.
Yeah, they had very good months. Once again, this Excel spreadsheet, this particular sheet is black across the board. Gold closed the month below 1900, but pushing it, 1898, almost 7% gain on the month, 25% on the year. Silver closed at 2636, up 16% on the month, 48% on the year, caught up with gold a bit after the end of Q1 debacle. Platinum lagged every other precious metal, closed up 10% on the month at 1061, also 10% on the year. Palladium, it actually went exponential back in late January. I think it got as high as 2754, pulled back drastically, made a rally, closed at 23.36, up 4% on the month, up 22% on the year. One thing to look at would be gold, which since its high of 2063 back on August 6th has made lower lows and lower highs. So we'll see where that goes from here. That's not a good looking chart. And copper got as low as 208 during the COVID crash. Since then, it has been on quite a roll, closes the year at 352, up percent on the month, 26% on the year, and as opposed to gold, copper has continually made higher highs and higher lows since that 208 level. What's driving copper right now is undoubtedly the fact that the banks and the speculators and the traders, futures and options guys, have all moved in on both sides of the Pacific and the Atlantic in big ways.
Yeah, and that's pretty obvious, you know, that copper chart is extremely strong, and we think we're going to see $4 copper for the coming year.
I would think so, Kerry.
Yeah, I kind of tend to agree with you there.
Unless all these speculators have a change of heart, and with all the promotion of the use of copper in green technologies, I think that's going to continue for a while.
Yep, I'm kind of inclined to agree with you there as well. So on that note, let's take a look at our energy. Even energy, with the exception of nat gas, had a pretty superlative month.
Good for the month, but the energy sector really took it in the shorts for the year. WTI closed up 7% on the month at 48.52, but it still lost over 20%, nearly 21% on the year. Brent gained almost 9% on the month, closed at 51.80, but it lost 24% on the year. Henry Hub closed at 254, down 12% on the month, but get this, it gained 16% on the year.
Crazy.
The whole oil and gas sector was probably, of every commodity, most affected by the China virus, which killed demand. It killed U.S. shale oil. Henry Hub still reflects the fact that there is a gross oversupply of natural gas everywhere in the U.S. except the northeastern tier of states, which have banned all natural gas pipelines. And I don't think that the Biden administration is going to be good to the oil and gas industry. Finally, uranium was way up in the summertime, made it to $34 at one point, but then it lost half of its gains from where it started the year, which was somewhat less than $25. It closed the year at $30.28, 1% gain on the month, 21% on the year.
Pretty impressive set of numbers we just were talking about there. And I guess we should take a quick look at our ratios and see how they treated us.
Well, it was an absolutely abnormal year for all the ratios that we track. We've never seen anything like it. Gold and silver in late March made as high as 123.5. It had never exceeded 100 before. It spent about 4 months in that range. It closed the year in a normal range of 72 as silver caught back up to gold. Platinum to gold ratios hit an all-time low of 0.41 again during the corona crisis, closed the year still At what would normally be an all-time low of 0.56. Platinum, palladium hit a low of 0.32 in March. It rallied a bit, but it's still at historic lows of 0.45. Going on to the oil ratios, Brent to WTI in April, when WTI briefly went negative, closed the year at 107, that's a pretty normal ratio, but that end of April ratio was 1.34. Never seen anything like that. WTI to Henry Hub at one point got less than 10, but it at no time ever got anywhere near energy parity, which is 6-1. We've seen that, 13, 14 years ago. Closed the month at 19 and change. And finally, gold to WTI, 11 of the past 12 months closes are at record highs, and we maintained that in December with a ratio of 39.
Yeah, remarkable numbers. You have to look at them and you have to like concentrate on them, and the magnitude starts to kind of make itself known. That's how aberrational and abnormal all these markets were. You know, we saw oil go negative. You were paying you to take their oil. And who could have ever believed that we could encounter series of events and market gyrations that we saw this year? And yet here we are, we're talking about it, and we're going into the next year, and there's even more uncertainty in a lot of respects than there was starting in 2020. 2020 didn't feel like it was going to be that big a deal of a year. It just seemed like it would be another, you know, up, down, normal, in quotes, kind of year. And look where we are now. So in any event, this is why you need to go over to Mickey's site and sign up now. MercenaryGeologist.com. Get his musings. All right. Also follow him on Twitter at MercenaryGeo. Go to our site, FinancialSurvivalNetwork.com. Follow us there. Subscribe to our newsletter. Got one coming out on this weekend about COVID and the world economy. And follow us at Kerry Lutz on Twitter. Mickey, always a pleasure. I wish you the best for 2021. I wish us all the best, but there are challenges ahead that we can't even comprehend of now that are going to make these numbers maybe more aberrational and crazier than ever.
Yeah, all bets are off, Kerry.
All bets are off, Mick. And hey, we've been doing this now 10 years, man. It's been my absolute honor and privilege. We're going to be doing it another 10 years or till anybody stops listening to us. And that's our promise to you out there. Mickey, we'll talk to you next month. Thanks so much.
All right. Thanks a lot, Kerry.